Welcome to episode 482 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a future picks episode for books in the previews catalog, for books in the August catalog, mostly shipping in October. So it's catalog 359, and I realized that the final order, or not the final order cutoff, but the deadline for pre-ordering these books has already passed. It's usually in the middle of the month. And for the last couple months, I've been late on getting these Future Picks episodes out. So apologize for that. I'm planning on doing the Future Picks episode for September, which is for books that are coming out in November, next week. So getting out ahead of it, make sure I do it plenty early. So although if you are to go and pre-order these from your retailer, your local comic shop, final order cutoff for most of these books hasn't happened yet, so they can still increase their orders. It's always a good idea to let your retailer know ahead of time if there's books you're interested in. You know, even if it's a book that's coming out the following week, there's always a chance that they can, if they don't have enough copies, at least you're letting them know they can reorder, things like that. There's literally nothing you can do that is more beneficial to your local comic shop than to let them know ahead of time, let them know before that Wednesday when the book is supposed to come out that you want the book. I mean, there's probably little they can do if it's like Tuesday afternoon at 4:55 and they close at 5. There's probably little they can do at that point when the book's coming out the next day. But, you know, for these books that don't come out until October, yeah, they can increase their numbers from the final order cutoff on a lot of these titles and put their reorders in early and such. So always let your retailers know if you're interested in any of these titles. So let me start with Image. The first book I want to mention is Blackbird number 1. That's a gem of the month. It's from writer Sam Humphries. We've got art from Jen Bartel. It's the story of a young girl named Nina Rodriguez who believes that there's a secret magic world that's ruled by a ruthless cabal. And it's just beneath the veneer of Los Angeles, just beneath the surface of our regular everyday reality. So in that way, it reminds me a lot of Hex 11 from Hex Comics. You guys, longtime listeners, will know that I'm a big fan of them. And I'm a big fan of Sam Humphries. He writes really intelligent work. His comics tend to be a lot of fun. And so I'm interested to see his take. I've only ever read him doing superhero stuff, so it's going to be interesting to see him do a take on something a little different. And as far as the art from Jen Bartel, it's absolutely gorgeous. Also, beautiful colors by, I want to say they're by Jody Wynn. I'm not 100% on that, but I think that's the case. But regardless, it's beautiful work. I'll definitely be talking about this book when it comes out. And hoping to have Sam and Jen on at some point to talk about it as well, because I think this book's going to be a big hit just based on what I've seen from it so far. Next title I mentioned, also another number one from one of my favorite writers, Jerry Dugan, with art from John McCrae, who a lot of people may remember from Hitman by Garth Ennis, that DC title from back in the day that was very well received. And this is a story of a prolific Boston stick-up man and hoodlum. He retired, had a normal life, had a wife, had a family, and now he's come out of retirement because he's got to save his wife. No one's happy that he's out of retirement. Not his wife, not the mafia, not the cops, not he himself. But he's going to do what he has to do in order to save the love of his life. So another title that looks top-notch from a really, really great writer. The next book I'll mention is Exorcisters from writer Ian Boothby with art by Giselle Langasse. Deal with the devil? Fiance dragged to hell? Well, Kate and Kate Harrow, one with a K and one with a C, they should be the first ones you call for your timely soul retrieval at reasonable rates. Identical twins that are very different. Is there a darker secret going on? It's an all-new ongoing series by Eisner Award-winning writer Ian Boothby with art by Giselle Legacy, like I said. So that looks very intriguing to me. Also, Infinite Dark from Top Cow looks very intriguing to me from writer Ryan Caddy, art by Andrea Moody, who handled the art so expertly on the Port of Earth series, also from Top Cow and writer Zach Kaplan. So the universe has ended, but on board the void station Orpheus, there's a skeleton crew of humanity, the last 2,000 souls, and they're basically waiting around for the universe to restart itself. Will there be another Big Bang? Will the universe actually restart itself? They don't know, but they're hoping, right? They're hopeful. So 2 years into their voyage, we're introduced to the security director, Diva Carroll, and she is investigating the station's first murder and possibly the motives behind it. So very intrigued by this. It sounds really great, kind of a mashup of hard sci-fi and horror. And we'll definitely be having Ryan Caddy on to talk about that, friend of the show, and a really great writer who whose profile and work is definitely on the rise. So look forward to that and having him on soon. Also, there's for all you Witches fans, there's a Bad Egg Halloween special one-shot from writer Scott Snyder and artist Jock. So I've never read the Witches books. I know people that have, and they swear by them. So if you've been waiting, anxiously waiting the return of Witches, here's a little snack, a little one-shot to hold you over from the regular creative team of Snyder and Jock. The next book that I want to mention is Aphrodite 5, number 4 of 4, the final battle between Basilisk, Aphrodite, Martin. If you haven't been reading this title from Brian Edward Hill and art by Jeff Spokes, it's very slick. It's very well done. It evokes a feel of LA, of a little bit of 80s vibe, little almost like Miami Vice kind of feel or Michael Mann flick. It's the tone of the book is unmatched, unparalleled by anything out there. It's really, really well done. So I definitely recommend picking up that. Also, we have Crowded, number 3 from Christopher Sabella, art by Rostein, Ted Brandt, and Triona Farrell. Crowdfunding hitmen or putting hits out on people that are crowdfunded, as well as crowdfunding the bodyguards to protect them. It's an interesting look at a future world where social media has kind of gotten out of control in a way. The first issue just came out, was a lot of fun, so I do recommend checking that out. We also have Cyberforce number 7, also from Brian Hill with Matt Hawkins, art by Attilio Rojo. We've got Ripclaw and Stryker finally getting together in the issue that just came out, issue 5, this last Wednesday. We saw Ripclaw make his first appearance. So we've pretty much been introduced to all the players now. It's just a matter of bringing those initial members of Cyberforce together. So that's been a really interesting take, updated take, modernized take on the Cyberforce characters and world. And it's been a whole lot of fun. Also from Top Cow, we've got Eclipse number 11 from Zach Kaplan. You know, in a world where sunlight is deadly, what can you do? Right? How can you get away from living in the city that's basically a dictatorship? Like it's not easy to solve the problems of the world when you know, the thing that gives everything life has turned deadly. So that's been a very political book, a very interesting book right from the start, with a lot of intriguing questions. And I look forward to the continuation of that series. I also want to mention Gideon Falls number 7 from Jeff Lemire, Andrea Sorrentino. It's a new arc starting with issue 7, Original Sins. So after that first arc where we really learned a lot, I'm looking forward to getting to know Father Fred a little bit more as he does some digging of his own and kind of learns about the history of Gideon Falls and what the Black Barn maybe, and how he can help, how he can perhaps find it within himself to become a plowman and vanquish this evil that is the Black Barn once and for all. So, you know, I often say I'm not a big horror fan, but man, Gideon Falls, one of the best books out today, really, really strong. Oblivion Song is up to number 8 from Robert Kirkman and Lorenzo Di Felici. I'm planning on doing a spotlight on that really soon. That's a really incredible read. And, you know, it's kind of like if you could go back and get in on the ground floor with Walking Dead, would you? Of course you would, right? So that's what Oblivion Song is. It's only on issue 8. You'd probably be able to go back and track down all the previous issues 1-7, I recommend doing that because it's a really interesting story. And I think there's a lot there for Kirkman to build on. Let's see, what else from Image? We have Rose continuing, or returning, I should say, with a new story arc with number 13 from writer Meredith Finch and artist Ig Guerra. If you didn't listen to the spotlight on Rose from a few weeks ago, I encourage you to do that. We had Meredith on, and it was a lot of fun to talk to her about the ideas behind the stories and the strength of characters and everything. That is an incredible book. I think it's especially a good title if you have someone who's kind of a young teenager, 12, 13, 14 years old, boy or girl. I think that they'd really get a kick out of that. It's an incredible world, a lot of emotionality and really great fleshed out characters in that fantasy world that Meredith is doing. It's kind of flying under the radar, and I think that's too bad because it's an incredible title. I also want to mention Shanghai Red, number 5 of 5, Christopher Sabella, Joshua Hickson. I've talked about that book just about every week it's come out. This is the finale of that miniseries, and I can't wait to see how it all wraps up. It's been a really fun ride, as has Skyward. Number 7, it's Here There Be Dragonflies, Part 2. So it's Willa out in the world after the events of the first arc and the things that happened with her father. Willa kind of finally gets her wish to get out there in the bigger, wider world. Joe Henderson, Lee Garbett, Antonio Fabella have been doing an incredible job. And, you know, Sony Entertainment picked up Skyward, and they're supposed to be adapting it. I cannot wait to see that on the big screen. That would be pretty much a dream come true. I'm sure it would for writer Joe Henderson as well. Also, Thief of Thieves continues towards its finale with number 41 from writer Brett Lewis with art by Sean Martinborough. Really need to do a spotlight on that one as well pretty soon. So see if I can manage to squeeze that in. And then finally from Image, I want to mention Witchblade number 9, another Top Cow book from writer Caitlin Kittredge and Roberto Ingranata. Really enjoying this new version, this modernized version of Witchblade. It's very much a story that's kind of suited for our times. Much like the first Witchblade was very much grounded in the 90s, even as it kind of evolved over time. This one that started here in the year 2018, was it 2018? It may even have started, can't remember when the first issue was. I'm thinking it might even have been at the very end of last year. But regardless, it's got a tone and a feel that's very much suited for kind of the politics of today. So I do recommend that as well. Let's see, over at Dark Horse, there's a few things I want to mention. We've got the return of The Umbrella Academy from Gerard Way. Hotel Oblivion is what the new arc is called. And we're seeing the return of the creative team of Gerard Way and Gabriel Ba. So I've never read Umbrella Academy, but I know a lot of people that have and absolutely love it. So if you've been waiting for the return, wait no longer. It is going to be back very, very soon. We've also got Stranger Things. We haven't seen the first issue come out, but issue 2 is solicited here from writer Jody Hauser with pencils by Stefano Martineau and inks by Keith Champagne. So if you're a fan of the Stranger Things comics, you're probably going to want to be ordering those. If you're a fan of Mystery Science Theater, we've got issue 2 of that coming out in October from writer Joel Hodgson's and Harold Buchholz, as well as Matt McGinnis, Mary Robinson, Seth Robinson, and Cheryl Fulp, with art by Todd Nock, Mike Manley, and Jack Pollock. So huge creative team there. I know a lot of people have been looking forward to that. The Whispering Dark is a new number 1 from writer Christopher Emgard and Thomas Ara, I think it is, Ara, handling the art. It's an army pilot who confronts supernatural horror in the tradition, rather, of Lovecraftian Mountains of Madness or Apocalypse Now. So may check that one out. It looks pretty interesting. It is a gem of the month from Dark Horse. And I've been finding myself really attracted lately to horror. As much as I say I'm not a horror reader, it's just the suspense of it. And you mix that in with some military, heroes. And yeah, you've got the makings of a really, really great book. She Could Fly. I've talked about that book before on the podcast from Christopher Cantwell. It's up to issue 4. If anybody's interested in that. And we've also got American Gods, My Ansel, number 7 from the legendary Neil Gaiman coming out in October, as well as the latest issue from The Quantum Age from the world of Black Hammer, Jeff Lemire, Rolfredo Torres. It's issue number 4. The regular title of Black Hammer is coming out currently is Black Hammer Age of Doom from Jeff Lemire with art by Rich Tomasso. And that's out in October as well. I think that's all I wanted to mention from Aftershock. They've got the usual issues of their licensed properties. They've got Conan, Halo, Predator, some Aliens books. So you can go and check that stuff out if you're interested in any of that. So let me move on to IDW. We've got the Star Wars Adventures titles. There's a 5-week event called Vader's Castle. So it's really interesting that Marvel's letting other publishers produce these Star Wars books, even though they themselves own Star Wars, right? Owned by Disney, Disney owns Star Wars. But these Star Wars adventure titles are definitely geared more toward a younger audience, whereas I feel like the Marvel titles that the Star Wars titles that Marvel is putting out are more geared toward younger or older readers, rather. So if you have young ones that are fans of Star Wars, the IDW Star Wars Adventures line is what you're going to look for. If you yourself are a fan or have older kids or older people you know that kind of more mature readers that want to get into Star Wars, you probably want to steer them toward the Marvel titles. Meanwhile, also at IDW, you've got a couple of the Star Trek titles. Transformers is winding down with their Unicron event. And they, from everything I understand, they haven't lost the license to Transformers. So I think it's just a matter of winding down the universe and then probably starting over at some point. Also, G.I. Joe up to 257 and the G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero Silent Option, which is a spinoff G.I. Joe miniseries starring the new Snake Eyes. Is up to issue 2. So I know a lot of people really are fans of the new female Snake Eyes. So Don Moreno, yeah, if you're a fan, you definitely should be picking up those issues. We've also got some other licensed stuff, Judge Dredd, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There's a new Dick Tracy, Back to the Future, Gears of War, Ghostbusters, all the usual suspects from IDW. I think they probably put out more licensed comics than any other publisher out there. My Little Pony, Sonic the Hedgehog. So there's no shortage of licensed properties coming out from them. So I don't think there was anything else from IDW that I wanted to mention. So moving on here to the next section, which would be Dynamite. We have a new Mars Attacks number 1 from Kyle Starks with art by Chris Schweizer. If you're interested in that property, we've also got a new Kiss comic, Blood and Stardust. If you're a big rocker Kiss fan, it's from Brian Hill. Now, I am not a Kiss fan by any stretch of the imagination, but man, I'm a huge fan of Brian Edward Hill. So I may check this out. I haven't decided yet. It may be one of those things where I pick it up in the store and kind of flip through it to see what my thoughts are on it. Cause I know next to nothing about Kiss. I mean, I've heard a few of their songs, obviously, cause I didn't grow up in a cave, but yeah, just never been a big fan of Kiss. So, but I am a little curious cause like I said, Brian Edward Hill. So, art is by Rodney Buscemi, who I'm not familiar with. There's also a new Lone Ranger number 1 from Mark Russell. He of Flintstones and Prez and Snagglepuss, which I've been hearing a lot of good things about Snagglepuss lately. So it's interesting. He seems to politicize and satirize a lot of the subjects that he writes about. So it seems a strange fit, Lone Ranger, but it is historical in a way. And this story, he's weaving in the – advent of barbed wire in the Texas panhandle with a corrupted state senator and dirty ranchers. And so, yeah, Mark Russell, Lone Ranger. Yeah, I'm probably going to check that one out. There's also a new A Rainbow Bright number one from Dynamite, written by Jeremy Whitley with art by Brittany Williams. No idea if it's young kids, older kids. Rainbow Bright always seemed to be a pretty two-dimensional character to me, so I don't know if Whitley's going to be trying to bring some depth to her. Don't know if that's even possible, but I guess we'll wait and see. And then much like IDW, a lot of other licensed properties from Dynamite, Elvira, Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, there's quite a bit from IDW. Red Sonja is another one. There's an Art of Tekken book that's coming out that looks pretty cool. We've also got the Charlie's Angels books, the James Bond books, which I know a lot of people rave about the James Bond books from Dynamite. I haven't read any of them myself, but just based on the fact that most of them are written by incredible writers like Jeff Parker, Ailish Khatt, it's something I plan on getting to at some point. There's also Nancy Drew from Kelly Thompson. I read a lot of Hardy Boys when I was growing up, and I know there was a Hardy Boys series out from Dynamite earlier this year. I managed to get a couple issues here or there, but I need to track down the rest so I can read that and give you guys my thoughts on the series. We've also got, you know, Shadow and Pumpkinhead and Xena. So again, a lot of licensed properties from Dynamite, just like IDW. So whatever tickles your fancy. Over at Boom, we've got Adventure Time Season 11, number one. Again, I know a really popular title, a lot of Adventure Time fans out there. I myself have never seen it, never really had any desire to see it. I don't really think that I'm necessarily the target audience for that. But if you are a fan of Adventure Time, those comics do come out from Boom. One thing I am interested in, an original graphic novel softcover from Boom. I moved to Los Angeles to work in animation. That's literally the name of the book. It's from Natalie Nurrigut, and it's autobiographical. She left her life in Portland to move to LA and pursue a job in animation. And she realized that despite her research, nothing was really going to prepare her for the wild world that awaited in the studios of Southern California. So it's, like I said, kind of autobiographical, kind of a how-to, just about Natalie's journey and her adventures, the highs, the lows. I really can't wait to check it out. It looks, and there's a few sample pages here. It looks really, really good. I can't wait to read it. Let's see what else from Boom. We've got a Planet of the Eight omnibus from Daryl Gregory, illustrated by Carlos Magno and Diego Barreto. It collects the 16 issue series plus Planet of the Apes special number one, Planet of the Apes spectacular number one, Planet of the Apes giant number one, and Planet of the Apes annual number one. So if you're a big Planet of the Apes fan, do recommend that. We've also got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 32, written by Marguerite Bennett with art by Simone DeMeo. Kyle Higgins has finally finished his run, and he's handed the torch off, or the baton, if you will, off to Marguerite Bennett. So it's the aftermath of Shattered Grid, and I've never been a Power Rangers fan, but I have to say, from everything I've heard, Boom is doing a really great job of kind of modernizing and telling good stories, bordering around great stories with these characters, not like dumbing them down, kind of getting away from the campiness of the TV show and just telling some really interesting stories. I mean, just the quality of the writers between Kyle Higgins, Marguerite Bennett, Ryan Parrott on the Saban's Go-Go Power Rangers. I mean, these are really, really quality creators. So if you're a fan of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, certainly check those out. Also, the Black Badge title, which I've heard good things about, is up to issue 3 from Matt Kent, illustrated by Tyler Jenkins. Basically, the story of kind of these kids that are in Kent's version of the Boy Scouts, Black Badgers or what have you, that really are adventurers a la the Challengers of the Unknown. Also from Boom in October, We have Bone Parish, number 4 of 5, from Cullen Bunn, with art by Jonas Schraff. Continuing to tell the story of this drug that's kind of taken the world by storm, that's created from the bones of the dead. Yeah, it's just as creepy as it sounds, but it's been really, really interesting to read so far. When it comes to creepy horror or just creepy tension-filled stories, it really doesn't get much better than what Cullen Bunn does. So I do recommend that as well. We also have Fence, number 11, from C.S. Pacat and Johanna the Mad on art. I believe this is the penultimate issue. I think with issue 12, the series is going to come to an end as far as monthly issues. And then they're going to continue to tell the story of Fence in graphic novel form. So we'll have volume 1, issues 1 through 6. We'll have volume 2, issues 7 through 12. And then going forward after that will be a series of either soft cover or hard cover graphic novels. So don't worry if you're a fan of Fence. It's probably going to come out less often, but you'll get bigger chunks of story when it does come out. So that does it for Boom. On to the back of the book from Terry Moore's Abstract Studios. We've got Strangers in Paradise 25, number 7. So kind of celebrating the 25th anniversary. I've never read Strangers in Paradise, and I know for some people that's like a giant hole in my reading. You're probably right. I do enjoy Terry Moore. I think that his Rachel Rising series is incredible, and someday I will go back and read those Stranger in Paradise books. I know that there are people that absolutely swear by them, but I've just never made the time to go and read them. So the next book I want to mention is from Aftershock by writer Steve Orlando, illustrator Matthew Dow Smith. The solicit says, Thrice Nine took Sasha's brother and it took Maria's heart. So Thrice Nine apparently is a world, a dirty folklore world that's a mix of technology and magic, and it's kind of limping along, degenerating into a place filled with paranoia and poison. And Sasha's younger brother's been kidnapped by the secret police, and he feels himself dragged back into the madness of that world. His simple goal is to find his brother. He's going to need help to do that, so he's enlisting Maria Kaminawa, a former warrior who's betrayed the very country she served. And the quest is how to get both those things back, right? In this lawless land of decapitated states, the land of dead kings. So how do you get back your belief in something after you've betrayed it? That's Maria's goal, right? As she helps Sasha try to rescue her brother. So the story, it doesn't sound like it's, you know, completely original idea, but it does sound intriguing to me whenever you mix technology and magic, or magic and Western or things like that. I always find those worlds to be fascinating. But the two biggest reasons that this story has me intrigued is, number one, it's from Aftershock, so I know it's going to be quality. And number two, Steve Orlando, who is a very underrated storyteller in my opinion. So really looking forward to that title. And the other number one from Aftershock that I'm even more excited about is The Last Space Race, from Peter Calloway with art by Alex Chabot. And it's basically the story of these two kind of billionaires. They're arch rivals, and they're building and launching the most expensive space vehicle for the most important project in history, basically to try to save humanity itself as Earth is kind of winding down. It's on its last legs. So we've got Sasha Bilodis, fun-loving tech billionaire, and we've got his arch rival, Roger Freeman, and they're literally racing to be humanity's last hope. So very much looking forward to that. From the second it was announced, I was really excited. And there's actually one more number one that I want to mention from Aftershock. It's from Adam Glass and his son Aiden Glass, with art by Diego Yapur. And it's called Lollipop Kids, and it's about the earliest settlers that came to the United States, locking monsters away in secret prisons deep in the woods of New Amsterdam, so they wouldn't bother anyone ever again, and they could have the old world to themselves, right? Well, those woods have since become Central Park, and now those monsters have escaped. And the cool thing is the protagonist is a 14-year-old Harlem resident. So what's his legacy? What's his tie to the secret society that for the last 400 years has kept these monsters in check? And as he recruits a group of his friends, right, other kids, how can they succeed in putting the monsters back where they belong before they escape the park and destroy the city? So I'm sure we'll have Adam and Aiden on to discuss that. And it's just so fun. Again, it's Aftershock. It's Adam Glass. So you put those two things together, I know you're going to have a quality story. And then on top of that, it's the fact that Adam is telling this story with his 14-year-old son. That's amazing to me. So I'm sure it's going to have an energy and a youthfulness to it that Aiden's bringing to the project. And so I can't wait to have them on to talk about that. Other titles from Aftershock, we have Relay up to number 4 from Zach Thompson with art by Andy Clark. That's been a really great series. Baby Teeth continues with issue number 14 from writer Donnie Cates. We've got Moth and Whisper issue 2, Patience, Conviction, Vengeance number 2, Beyonders number 3, Hot Lunch number 3, Volition number 3, and then over in Marguerite's Animosity corner of the Aftershock world of titles, we've got Animosity Evolution number 9 from Sean Lewis. Clan Killers continues with number 4, and Lost City Explorers from Zach Kaplan and Alvaro Saraceca is up to issue 5. Really, really recommend that title. And also from Adam Glass, we've got volume 3 of the trade paperback of Rough Riders Ride or Die with art by Patrick Olaf. That was a lot of fun. That third arc of Rough Riders may have been my favorite one of them all. And if you want to know more about Rough Riders, just go and look up the episode where Adam and Pat joined me. We had a lot of fun talking about Rough Riders and their working in kind of period stories of the, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, Teddy Roosevelt's, Harry Houdini, all those, Annie Oakley, all those characters. As I said, it was a whole lot of fun. Next up from Archie, I mentioned this because they seem to be kind of going the way of a lot of the other publishers when they want to have their cake and eat it too, right? Archie rebooted not too long ago, a few years ago, maybe with a new number one written by Mark Waid. I think the art was by Fiona Staples. And now that we're coming up on what would be issue 700, we're going back to the legacy numbering right before then. And for only $1, you can pick up Archie $6.99, catch up on the best-selling Archie saga before issue 700. So I suppose not even Archie is immune to fudging around with the numbers to take advantage of big, I guess, landmark numbers, if you wanna call them that. So. If you're an Archie fan, I guess pick it up. And I think issue 699 may be it may be Mark Waid's last issue on the title. I think someone else is coming on. Don't hold me to that, but I believe that's what I heard. And speaking of comics that are coming to an end, we've got the final issue of The Simpsons from Bongo Comics, issue 245, as well as the final issue of SpongeBob Comics with number 85. I'm kind of surprised that Bongo is closing up shop after, I think, about 20 years, if not longer, because I thought these comics sold gangbusters overseas, but I'm not 100%. I mean, Bongo always had a giant booth at San Diego, and this year it seemed like they were still there. They were still in the same spot, but I mean, every day it seemed like they were packing up earlier and earlier. Kind of felt like their heart wasn't in it in a way, and maybe that's because obviously they probably already knew the end was nigh. So it's kind of sad to see, because as I said, I always thought those comics did pretty well, and it's unfortunate. So I hope the powers that be over there at Bongo kind of land on their feet. And it also wouldn't surprise me to see the Simpsons property be licensed out and see somebody else pick it up and continue to tell stories with those characters. They may need to let them rest for a little while so they can make it a little bit of a bigger splash when it comes back. That probably would behoove them to do that. A lot of times it's like, you don't know what you got till it's gone. So you need to let it not be there for a while. Give people a chance to miss it and then bring it back and see if you're able to sustain it for a longer period of time. All right. The next book I want to mention is from Legendary Comics. It's Lost in Space Countdown to Danger Volume 1. It's based on the Netflix show that just came out this last year. It did really, really well. This is a 56-page hardcover. It's from writers Richard Dinick and Brian Buccioletto with art by Zid. I think that Buccioletto is a very much underrated writer. I really hope you guys are all picking up his Low Life's title from IDW right now, which has been absolutely incredible. He does a great job of character. Character voice, character tone is handled very, very well. Based on the fact this is drawing on the characters from the show, I imagine that Brian and Richard Dinick are going to be able to nail kind of the tone and the feel. And I really enjoyed that show. So I'm looking forward to checking out Lost in Space in the pages of comics. Now, over at Lion Forge, it's interesting. I've picked up a lot of the Catalyst Prime titles. I haven't read any of them. I love the fact that it's focused on diversity and telling new and different kind of stories, but they've just fallen through their cracks. And you know, I've got a big stack of them to read, and I just haven't had time to check them out. So the fact that they now have Gail Simone over there kind of curating that line, it makes me only more excited and more aware that I really need to get caught up on that stuff. And I saw Gail tweeting about one of their new titles coming from Catalyst Prime called Quincredible coming out soon. So I definitely want to check out that. I'm not going to name any of their Catalyst Prime books in particular, just because, as I said, I haven't had a chance to read any of them yet. So I don't know what I can recommend. But just based on the fact that Gail Simone is curating and she has a huge fan base, I expect those books to start to pick up some steam. And of course, we always have to touch on Tomorrow's publishing, back issues up to 109. It's the 40th anniversary of Superman the movie. So, you know, that's the one starring Christopher Reeve, who for me will always be Superman. It's the first live action Superman I ever saw. And it always brings a smile to my face to see Christopher Reeve on the big screen as Superman. So I'm definitely going to be picking up that issue of Tomorrow's. All right, next up we have Valiant. It's the shocking finale, Britannia number 4 from Peter Milligan and Robert Gill. Again, this is telling the story of kind of the world's first detective back in the ancient Roman days as he investigates different crimes and what have you. So that's been a really great series, been very popular, done extremely well. This is, I believe, the third miniseries set in the world of Britannia. We've also got the second issue of Faith Dreamside from Jody Hauser with art by MJ Kim. So haven't seen the first issue of that, but we do plan on having Jody Hauser on to talk about it real soon. So stay tuned for that. We've also got the latest series title of Shadow Man by Andy Diggle with art by Renato Guedes is up to number 8. That's been Valiant. This version of Valiant finally getting Shadow Man right in the eyes of a lot of people. So I hope you're all picking up that. Ninja K is up to number 12 from writer Christos Gage with art by Roberto Della Torre. That's been a really, really great read as well. A lot of quality books coming out from Valiant these days. So that's going to do it for the regular previews book. I don't think there's anything else in there that I wanted to mention. So let me go ahead and hop over to the Marvel previews and go through it pretty quickly here. Right on the cover, we've got the latest version of Spider-Geddon. Issue 2 is out in October from Christos Gage with Dan Slott and art by Jorge Molina. So it spins out of the Spider-Island story from last year, a bunch of different versions of Spider-Man. I read the first issue of Edge of Spider-Geddon, rather. I wasn't really impressed. I'll probably be skipping this one. But if you're interested, issues 1 and 2 both come out in October. And again, I guess Spider-Verse was way back in 2014. And this event's coming out of Spider-Man 800. So it's Gage and Slott, the longtime collaborators, diving back into that world and with tons of different versions of Spider-Man, right? Like the Spider-Man that we know, Dr. Octopus, Spider-Gwen, Miles Morales, Spider-Woman, Spider-Man from the video game, pretty much every Spider-Man and woman ever, it says, including some brand new ones. So, I mean, just on the cover, we see Spider-Man 2099, we see Spider-Gwen, we see Ben Reilly, we see the May Parker version of Spider-Man. I mean, it's, or Spider-Girl, I should say. So if you're a fan of Spider-Man, as I said, this is pretty much all the Spider you can possibly get. So there's also some tie-ins like Spider-Force, number 1 of 3 from Christopher Priest, Vault of Spiders from Cullen Bunn and Jed McKay, Spider-Girls from Jody Houser, so as well as a Spider-Gwen, a.k.a. Ghost Spider one, number 1. So Marvel's definitely going all in with this event. So if you haven't been getting enough Spider-Man, then you definitely want to pick this up because it's pretty much all the Spider that you can handle. And we are getting a new Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man creative team also. It's a Spider-Geddon tie-in, number 311 from Sean Ryan, Juan Fregeri, with an awesome cover by Philip Tan. I may pick that up myself just based on that cover, man. It is incredible. There's also a new Superior Octopus that ties in with the Spider-Geddon event, Christos Gage, Mike Hawthorne on art. So as I said, tons of Spider-Man content. There's also an Avengers Halloween special. I believe it's coming out on Halloween, actually, with a ton of writers. Jerry Dugan, the Soska sisters, Jay Baruchel, Robbie Thompson, Rob Fee. We've got Juanan Ramirez, Jonas Scher, Ian Marin, Bob Quinn on art, covered by Jeff Shaw. And based on the picture on the cover, it looks like Madcap may be a villain. I think this is an anthology book. So if you're a big fan of the Avengers, if you're a big fan of Halloween, this is probably something you want to check out. We've also got Shiri number 1, spinning out of the movie with Black Panther's very intelligent breakout star of the movie. Very intelligent sister, I should say. It's from Nnedi Okorafor, who is an Afrofuturist with art by Leonardo Romero. So if you're a big fan of the Black Panther movie, you may want to check that out. Meanwhile, Infinity Wars is up to number 4 of 6 from writer Jerry Dugan and art by Mike Diodato Jr. I've definitely been enjoying that series so far. Don't need to read any of the lead-ups to it, in my opinion, but you may get more out of it. We've also got a Sleepwalker series that's tying into it. We have issues 1 and 2 coming out in October, 3 and 4 to follow the following month. We've also got an Infinity War Arachnite, number 1 of 2 from Max Abemis with art by Ael Garcia, as well as an Iron Hammer, number 2 of 2, spinning out of Infinity Wars, kind of the mashups, right? So it's Iron Hammer. It's basically Thor and Iron Man mashup. Well, we also get a mashup of Captain America and Doctor Strange in Soldier Supreme. We've got the second issue of that coming out in October as well. And Weapon Hex, number 1 of 2, also looks to be a matchup of who exactly? I'm not sure. It looks like maybe Scarlet Witch and one of the Weapon X, maybe X-23. Not real sure on that one. But speaking of Wolverine, we've got Return of Wolverine, number 2, from Charles Soule, art by Steve McNiven. Basically telling us the story of Wolverine finally coming back. So definitely looking forward to that. And there is a variant cover by David Marquez, which is really, really cool to look at. So let's see what else from Marvel. We've got a new Unstoppable Wasp from Jeremy Whitley with art by Gura Haru. We've got a new Shatterstar number one from Tim Seeley with art by Carlos Villa. We've got a Black Panther versus Deadpool special, number one of five. I guess it's a miniseries rather than a special, from writer Daniel Kibblesmith with art by Ricardo Lopez Ortiz. The X-Men Black one-shots also debut in October. This is basically focusing on the X-Men villains. We've got an X-Men Black Magneto number one, an X-Men Black Mojo number one, an X-Men Black Mystique number one, and an X-Men Black Juggernaut number one. And to tie it all up, we've got an X-Men Black Emma Frost number one. Great creative teams and artists on a lot of those titles. Also in October, it looks like Marvel's bringing back their What If concept with a few one-shots as well. We've got a What If Magic number one, starring Ilya Rasputin. We've got a What If X-Men number one from Brian Edward Hill, starring Old Man Logan, Cable, Domino. There's also a really cool looking What If Thor number one from Ethan Sachs with art by Michelle Bandini. A What If Ghost Rider number one with the Robbie Reyes version of Ghost Rider by Sebastian Gerner with art by Casper Jeangard. And a What If Spider-Man number one. What if Flash Thompson became Spider-Man? By Jerry Conway, that classic Spider-Man artist with art by Diego Olortuga. O-L-O-R-T-E-G-U-I. Apologies if I jacked that up, mispronounced that. Oh, and there's also a What If the Punisher, where it's a cross between Punisher and Spider-Man by Carl Potts with Joaquin Ramirez on the art. So a lot of great What If titles there. I'm wondering if Marvel's going to be bringing that title back for good. Avengers, the relaunch continues with number 9 by Jason Aaron with art by David Marquez. I've been hearing a lot of good things about that, but I haven't dove back into the Avengers just yet. I may do that at some point. We've got the West Coast Avengers by Kelly Thompson and Stefano Caselli up to number 3. Thor is up to number 6, continuing Jason Aaron's epic Thor run, which is probably going to go down as one of the greatest Thor runs of all time, in my opinion. Ta-Nehisi Coates, with art by Linnell Francis Yu on Captain America, is up to number 4. Meanwhile, Dan Slott's take on Iron Man is up to number 5 with Tony Stark Iron Man. We've got 5 and 6 both solicited for October. Al Ewing and Joe Bennett on The Immortal Hulk is up to number 7. That's been an absolutely incredible run, probably my favorite run on the Hulk in a really long time. It definitely evokes the feel of the old TV show, a little bit of horror, a little bit of the monstrous feel, right? Like Al Ewing spoke in an interview, I think I read, where he's talked about being inspired by that very first Hulk cover ever done by Jack Kirby, and the big question mark there with the words inside, you know, man or monster. And so I really feel like they're embracing that that feel, right? Like really embracing the monster side of the Hulk. So Amazing Spider-Man's up to number 7 and 8 from Nick Spencer, art by Humberto Ramos in both of those issues. Donny Cates, one of the hottest writers in all of comics, has Venom Annual number 1 as well as Venom number 7 out in October. Scarlet Spider comes to an end from writer Peter David with art by Will Sliney. Number 25 will be the final issue of that run. Meanwhile, Fantastic Four has returned, and they're up to number 3 by Dan Slott with art by Sarah Pacelli. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I've only read issue 1 so far, and I really can't wait to see the Fantastic Four actually return in issue 2. Ghost Rider, Cosmic Ghost Rider, I should say, number 4 of 5 from Donny Cates and Dylan Burnett is out in October. So I think a lot of people have been enjoying the Cosmic Ghost Rider character from the Thanos run. Whether or not they're enjoying him in this latest miniseries, I'm very curious to know if that is that's the case. Because I read the first couple issues and I was kind of lukewarm on it. Charles Soule continues his Daredevil run with 609 and 610 with art by Phil Noto. We did hear that there's a new kind of Marvel Knights version of Daredevil title coming from Donny Cates later this year, early next year. So I'm curious to see if Charles Soule's run is going to continue, or if that's going to be if that Marvel Knights version is going to replace it. So when I know, you will know. Let's see. Doctor Strange continues to try to discover his powers out in space from Mark Waid and Javier Pena. We've got the episode or the issue 200 of Moon Knight anniversary issue from Max Bemis, art by Paul Davidson and others. Looking forward to seeing what they do for the 200th issue of Moon Knights. The Life of Captain Marvel, 4 of 5 penultimate issue from Margaret Stoll and Carlos Pacheco is out in October. And as well as the penultimate issue of Death of Inhumans from Donny Cates with art by Ariel Olivetti. I've enjoyed the first two issues of that series, although it's pretty obvious, or it seems to be very obvious to me, that it's really a way to kind of put the genie back in the bottle, or at least do the best they can after trying to shove the Inhumans down our throats and having far, far too many of them to keep track of. But the first two issues have been pretty good. Issue one was above average. I thought issue two was spectacular. Incredible art as well. We also have the next to last issue of Extermination from Ed Brisson with art by Pepe Larraz. Amazing covers by Mark Brooks. I'm trying to dip my toe back into the X-Men universe, and the Extermination event has been pretty interesting so far. It almost feels like with Extermination, they're trying to do for the X-Men what Death of Inhumans is doing for the Inhumans, and that is just try to clean things up a little bit. You know, when we have two versions of Beast and Jean Grey and Angel and Iceman running around, things definitely can get confusing. We've got the final issue of Multiple Man from Matthew Rosenberg, 5 of 5. Haven't checked that out yet, but hear good things. Iceman has returned. We've got issue 2 of 5 from Cena Grace with art by Nathan Stockman. I did read recently, a lot of people were wondering, well, why did they bring Iceman back after it got canceled because of poor sales, and then they turn around and bring it back a few months later? Apparently, it sold very well in trade, so that's probably why they decided to go ahead and bring it back. Plus, you know, Marvel, you know, they're always willing to beat that dead horse. Domino is up to issue 7 from writer Gail Simone. Incredible art on that series from David Baldione. And I think that is it for things I wanted to mention from Marvel. You know, we've got other books in the X-Men universe. You know, they're X-Men Blue, Weapon H, Astonishing X-Men. Oh, I should mention that Old Man Logan is winding down. We've got issues 49 and 50 from Ed Brisson. I believe those are the final issues of the series. So if you're a fan of Old Man Logan, I imagine they want to kind of exit him stage right before the original Logan comes back. And then, of course, all the Star Wars titles I should probably mention are doing really, really well. I did mention if you have younger Star Wars fans, IDW, Star Wars Adventures is where you want to steer them. If older and more mature readers probably want to check out the main Star Wars titles from Marvel. I'll specifically mention the Darth Vader title from Charles Soule and Giuseppe Camuncola on art here, but it's normally Salvador LaRocca, and it's wrapping up the Fortress Vader storyline with part 4, which tells how Vader got his castle. And for my money, Charles Soule, one of the best Star Wars writers out there, partly due to his fact that he loves the franchise. All right, let's move over to DC quickly. We've got a Batman Secret Files from Tom King, Jordi Belair, Ram, Cheryl Lynn Eaton, and Tom Taylor. Basically, just giving a history and kind of it's a good catch-up. Like, if you haven't been reading Batman in a few years, I think the Secret Files will help you to understand where he's at these days. They've also got the new number ones from the Sandman universe. We know that we recently got a new Sandman universe one-shot that kind of gave us a little glimpse into these different stories. And the whole line is being curated by Neil Gaiman himself. So we've got a Books of Magic series. We've got a Lucifer series, as well as a Dreaming series. And I can't remember what the last one is, but issue one of Books of Magic and issue one of Lucifer are solicited for October. House of Mystery, I think, is the last one. Also, we've got the second issue of Heroes in Crisis from Tom King and Clay Mann, with cover variant cover by Ryan Sook. This is DC's big event for the fall, and based on the creative team, know it's going to be good. Meanwhile, there's another event going on as well, spinning out of Justice League Dark. We've got Wonder Woman and the Justice League Dark, The Witching Hour, number one, with James Tynion exploring Wonder Woman's magical origins. And a lot of these books tie in with Halloween, so perfect time for it to come out in October. And Wonder Woman 56 is actually written by James Tynion as well, with art by Emmanuel Lupacchino and Ray McCarthy, and that ties in with The Witching Hour, as does the Justice League Dark issue number 4, with art by Alvaro Martinez and Raul Fernandez, also written by James Tynion. So over in the regular Justice League books and also Aquaman 41, we've got the Drowned Earth event. So writer Dan Abnett on Aquaman, Scott Snyder on Justice League, art by Jorge Jimenez and Lan Medina. Whenever you get Aquaman in his own element and you bring in the Justice League, it never goes real smoothly for Aquaman. And so I'm very curious to get Scott Snyder's take. I mean, that was certainly the case when Geoff Johns was telling the story of the surface world and Aquaman's Atlantean world kind of colliding. So it'll be interesting to see if Scott Snyder and Dan Abnett keep that same kind of feel. We've got another slew of Hanna-Barbera and DC character tie-ins with Yogi Bear and Deathstroke, Green Lantern, Huckleberry Hound, Nightwing and Magilla Gorilla, as well as Superman and Top Cat. There's also, speaking of Vertigo, a Vertigo celebration of 25 years hardcover with an introduction by Scott Snyder and tons of interviews from some of the creators that really put Vertigo on the map. Garth Ennis, Glenn Fabry, Jamie Delano, Colleen Duran, Jeff Lemire, Jock, Lee Bermejo, Becky Cloonan, Mark Buckingham, Peter Milligan, Kurt Busiek, Paul Levitz, Ann Nesenti, Cliff Chang, J.M. DeMatteis, Paul Jenkins, Brian K. Vaughan. I mean, if you're a fan of Vertigo, that's pretty much a must read. We've got Action Comics 1004, written by Brian Michael Bendis. I mention it because it has interior art by Ryan Sook, who doesn't do a whole lot of interiors. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And there's also a enhanced foil cover by Steve Rood. Over in the Batman corner of the DC Universe, we have 56 and 57 of the regular Batman title, written by Tom King with art by Tony S. Daniel, coming out in October. We've also got Batman Kings of Fear number 3 from Scott Peterson and Kelly Jones. Now, there's a lot of Kelly Jones Batman fans out there, so you want to be on the lookout for that. Catwoman is up to number 4 with art by Fernando Blanco. Previous to this, Joelle Jones had been handling writing duties and art, so I'm curious to know if she's going to continue to do some art for the book or if it just became too much and she's just going to handle the writing duties. But it's been a really great read so far. We've got in the New Age of Heroes corner, Curse of Brimstone up to number 7 by Justin Jordan, and Damage, guest starring the Justice League, Damage number 10, I should say, written by Robert Venditti, art by Aaron Lopresti and Matt Ryan. Deathstroke is up to number 36, written by Christopher Priest with art by Ed Bennis. We've got a two-part story on Detective Comics 990 and 991 from James Robinson with art by Steven Segovia and John Paul Leone, guest starring Two-Face. Here's the solicit for the one of the other Vertigo books that's launching. It's The Dreaming, number 2, Cy Spurrier and Bilquis Evely. Not sure why it's separate from the other titles. Perhaps the fourth one is here and I can verify that it's House of Mystery for you. The Flash is up to 56 and 57, still being written by Joshua Williamson. We've got art by Scott Collins. And a couple of foil covers by Dan Panosian for, well, actually, it's just for 56. Green Arrow is a Heroes in Crisis tie-in issue written by Julie Benson and Shauna Benson with art by Javier Fernandez. Really hope you're picking up that book because the Benson sisters have done gangbusters on their first couple of issues of Green Arrow. Harley Quinn is up to 51 and 52, written by Sam Humphries with art by Sammy Basri. Been loving what Sam Humphries has been doing with that title, as I've been loving what Robert Venditti has been doing with Hawkman. Art by Brian Hitch and Andrew Curry. Venditti's managed to do what nobody's ever done on Hawkman, and that's take everything that's come before and make it make sense. It's a book you absolutely must be reading. If you like any DC characters, if you like the feel of the DC universe, you need to be reading Hawkman. It has the feel and the tone of the DC universe down cold. It encapsulates the feel, the classic feel of the DC universe, the legacy feel, the feeling that everything counts. And it's absolutely spectacular, brilliant writing, great story ideas, and the art by Brian Hitch has been cinematic, as his art tends to be. And as I turn the page here, I see here's the final, the fourth and final of those DC Vertigo titles that are being relaunched, Sandman Universe, as I mentioned. It's not House of Mystery, it's House of Whispers is the fourth title. Issue 2 solicited here for October from writer Nalo Hopkinson and art by Dominique Domo Stanton. We've also got an issue number 2 of Justice League Odyssey from Joshua Williamson with art by Stefan Sejic. This is a resolicit. They pushed them back to get them right, according to what Joshua Williamson was telling everybody at San Diego Comic-Con. They felt it better to kind of back out of it. It wasn't – basically, Williamson's ideas kept getting bigger and bigger, and they needed to kind of reset in order to tell the story they wanted to tell. So if it's going to be that great, I'm definitely willing to wait. But I am anxiously awaiting it because, especially because of the, Stefan Sejic art. So looking forward to that. Also Plastic Man up to number 5 from Gail Simone and Adriano Mello. That's been a really, really fun series. I thought it was a mini series, but it doesn't mention it being a mini series here. If that got promoted to an ongoing, that would be amazing. But it might be the final issue, or there might be one more. I'm not sure. It was either 5 or 6 issues when I originally got solicited. I want to say 6. So I'll have to check on that and get back to you. Next up, we have Supergirl 23 from writer Mark Andrako with art by Kevin Maguire. This is continuing the story of Supergirl's cosmic quest to find out the truth about Rogol Zar. Really, really recommend this title right now. I think Andrako and Maguire are hitting on all cylinders telling this story. Issue 21 was the return of Supergirl in August, talking about her quest for the truth about the destruction of Krypton. It was a very emotion-filled issue, and I can't recommend it highly enough. Meanwhile, over in the regular Superman title, issue 4 is coming out in October, also from Brian Michael Bendis with art by Ivan Reis. Superman still fighting to protect the world from Rogol Zar in the Phantom Zone. So continuing that story. Let's see. What else from DC in October? The Drowned Earth also runs through Titans 28. So if you're picking up that series, be sure not to miss out on Titans 28. We've also got the United States versus Murder, Inc. issue 2. From Jinx World, Brian Michael Bendis. Over in the Wildstorm corner of things, we've got issue 18 from Warren Ellis with art by John Davis Hunt. Really been enjoying that Wildstorm series. I can't wait for the Absolute edition on that because the art by John Davis Hunt is spectacular. And also in that corner of the DC Universe, Michael Cray, number 12, written by Brian Hill with art by N. Stephen Harris and Dexter Vines. So I think that's going to do it for DC titles. There are, as always, several hardcovers and trade paperbacks and omnibuy, but nothing that really jumped out at me. So Well, with the exception of Mr. Miracle trade paperback, but I think that that's really a title that everybody should be getting in a hardcover. So wait for the hardcover on that one. So I think that's going to do it for this episode of Future Picks. As always, I want to thank everybody for joining me. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you listen to us on. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.